Our guest at this time is Frank Gaffney, former Assistant Secretary of Defense in the Reagan administration. He's now president of the Center for Security Policy, and he's a columnist for the Washington Times. We want to get his reaction as someone who served during the Cold War to President Obama's compromise with the Russian government on Monday to reduce the number of nuclear warheads over the next few years, as well as the number of missiles capable of carrying those warheads. And Frank, it's always good to have you with us.
It's great to be with you, Greg. Thank you for having me.
This is a compromise, an agreement that was originally proposed back when the two met in London at the G20 summit. They wanted to get this done in time. Differing opinions certainly coming out about these proposed reductions. What do you make of it and what it does to our national security?
The president over the weekend gave an interview to the New York Times front page story, as a matter of fact, in which it became clear that the idea of ridding the world of nuclear weapons, or as he calls it, a nuclear-free world, is not something that he's just come upon lately. This has been, the French would call it an idée fixe, an absolutely fixation idea for apparently decades, going back to when he was at Columbia University. I mention that because I think what the president is doing here is setting up a program that will accelerate the denuclearization of the United States in furtherance of that goal. The agreement that was announced today by him and one of his Russian counterparts, at least,
right.
Medvedev, has a band of cuts that could be made in both what are called strategic nuclear delivery vehicles and the actual weapons they carry. The uppermost of those bands would represent relatively small cuts in our nuclear forces below the levels that have already been agreed. But the lower ones would be tremendous cuts. And frankly, even the higher of them would represent something on the order of a third reduction in our nuclear forces. And what strikes me about this, you mentioned that I had served President Reagan during the Cold War, Greg. What strikes me about this is that it seems so out of touch with today's strategic realities, in which we're really not, certainly not first and foremost, concerned about the Russian nuclear arsenal. We're worried about a lot of other people that we have to deter. And we're not, I think, well positioned to do that, and I fear we will be less so after this deal is done.
Take us inside the Reagan thinking towards the end of his term, because he, of course, signed the arms reduction treaty with Gorbachev in the later years of his term. What was the thinking then, and what was the thinking then in terms of a proper national security posture? What was required? What could be negotiated down in terms of our nuclear arsenal?
Well, of course, when President Reagan was still in office, there was still a Soviet Union, and
right.
There was still at least the last phases of the Cold War. And I think it was his belief that reductions from the quite high levels that existed then of nuclear forces, missiles and bombers and the weapons they carry, was sensible provided it was verifiable. He often used that expression, made Gorbachev crazy in the end, trust but verify. He also insisted upon an insurance policy. He wanted to safeguard the United States and its people against the possibility that the Russians would cheat, as they have done on every agreement they've ever signed, and against the possibility that perhaps other threats would develop as well by having an effective, comprehensive missile defense. And when Gorbachev tried to get him to give that up, famously at Reykjavik,
sure.
He refused to do it. And I fear that we haven't heard the last of this yet. The Russians are still angling for a similar kind of restriction on missile defenses in Moscow now. And Mr. Obama has a couple more days there, so it's anybody's guess whether he will yield, because I think he's made it pretty clear he's not all that keen on missile defense either. So we could wind up with cuts far deeper than anything Ronald Reagan contemplated. Cuts that I think, we can't say for sure, but I think he might have thought were not entirely appropriate in light of the world as it is, and restrictions on our missile defenses that would make those reductions all the more risky. Those would be, I think, his concerns, and they certainly are mine.
Frank, you mentioned that at the time, of course, that Reagan was negotiating with Gorbachev. There were two superpowers in the world, and now we have a myriad of smaller powers that pose rogue threats, Iran, North Korea, and so forth. Just what exactly does the current size of our nuclear stockpile mean to them as a deterrent? How does it change their thinking based on the size of our arsenal?
You know, I'm not sure that it's the size of our arsenal so much as a more nebulous term, the credibility of our arsenal, and also our will, if, God forbid, we have to, the decision is made to use it, or the need, I should say, arises that we should use it. What I think most of these countries are looking at is the glide slope that the United States is on. Unique, Greg, among all of the nuclear powers in the world, we are the only ones that have stopped modernizing our arsenal. In fact, we stopped modernizing about 20 years ago. Everyone else, even small states, are now busily building new nuclear weapons and, in many cases, missiles with which to carry them. I think they're looking at us and saying, hey, you know, these guys are going out of the business. And whether that means that they feel an incentive to build up their arsenals and become, in effect, superpowers, as I think is going on in the Chinese minds, or whether it's simply their view that at a relatively low cost, they can become a world-class power by having even a modest nuclear arsenal, because the United States is going to have a modest nuclear arsenal as well, larger perhaps quantitatively, but in terms of its actual capabilities and its usability, which is, I think, a key component of deterrence, that may well be over the side. So these are the things that I'm afraid will probably actually make the world a more dangerous place as a result of these kinds of cuts, not the safer one that President Obama seeks to, introduce.
Last 30 seconds. Don't know if you're much into the prognostication business, but you mentioned that Obama, given his disdain for missile defense and that policy, could put that on the table at some point. What's your sense on how that'll end up this week? Do you think he's likely to relinquish that this early in his administration?
I confess I've been a little surprised he hasn't done it already, given the signals he has sent. He's cut many of the missile defense programs. He has certainly signaled a willingness to give up on the Polish and Czech deployments that President Bush had engineered. And I think he's indicated to the Russians as well that he's not all that wedded to these missile defenses. So I fear that he will, in fact, do the sort of deal that Ronald Reagan explicitly and quite rightly rejected two decades ago.
And so we'll keep tabs on that, of course, as
well. Stay tuned.
Absolutely. Frank, thanks as always for your time.
My pleasure.
Frank Gaffney is the president of the Center for Security Policy. He served as Assistant Secretary of Defense for President Reagan. He is a columnist for the Washington Times and is the host of Secure Freedom Radio. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.